another episode of The Scenario. I am your king, King Richard the IV.
You gotta do this whole show with the accent.
I was trying to, man, but I was like, man.
I thought they got you like 21 Savage.
And it's deported me.
I looked over, I was like, damn. Right in front of me the whole time.
A red coat.
He was a jolly old chap the entire time sitting here.
Good old red coat, man. Shout out to my English friends I met over there. But we're going to jump into our emails first before I jump into the European Thought Tour, as people have deemed it online.
As they should.
And it's like, this is all your fault. This ain't even...
No, I was classifying what's going on in your world, man.
All right, first one's up from Daniel Hurd. This is one of your frat brothers.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good yeah, up. And one of my alumni of my high school. Okay. He says, the You See Me episode with Keywine and Darius Bradford was dope. I've had Free City in rotation since then. I didn't go to U City. I went to SLU High. Shout out to Daryl. But listening to the conversation brought me back to watching Corey Taylor beasting dudes while he was at U City.
Yeah, Corey was a real deal. Corey was a real deal. He ran for 2 stacks as a sophomore.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Sometimes, man.
How many carries does he get in the game?
18, 20.
Damn, he was killing cats like that?
Yeah, he was like 6'3", like 220 when he was a sophomore.
Whoa.
He's one of the realest running backs in St. Louis history you just don't ever hear about.
Yeah, so what did that end up happening?
Just
U City.
Just didn't cash in. U City is the home of more.
That's what I said.
Yeah, he got U City, dog.
Damn.
Yeah, he was real. Whole time.
Damn. So, the only sophomore year was the dope year?
He played his whole high school career.
Did he even get any looks for college?
He graduated the year after me.
You was already gone.
Yeah. I mean, I was out. I mean, we played Little League together and all of that, but I don't know what ended up happening.
It's one of those legends that you...
Yeah. One cats you had to see.
Damn, 2 stacks in here.
Yeah, he's real.
Damn. I had a thought on your topic a few weeks back about canceling celebrities. What do you think the line is on canceling musicians when it comes to features? Like, if you're going to cancel R. Kelly, does that mean the songs like Satisfy You by Puff or Fucking You Tonight by Biggie are out since R. Kelly featured on there? Appreciate y'all material. Keep it up, Daniel.
That's a great question, yeah, man. Because, like, here's the thing. It's like, R. Kelly leaving the game, like, although he should be gone.
It just opened up a crevice of music, though.
No matter what, like, he should be gone. But, like, the thing about it is that it's created, like, a thing where you have to, like, find 3 to 4 people to substitute in for the music that one dude was creating.
He was rocking from, like, 91 till last year. I mean, even though some people may not have messed with, you know, some of his later stuff, and I get that, you know, it went off the Richter scale, you know, with the Black Panties album and... What was the other album after that? The Buffet. It kind of got off the Richter, but you got to think, he put down classics back to back to back to back over and over again. So shout out to him, man, for that. But at the same time, I'm still not giving a fucking you tonight about Biggie, though. I can't do that. And Satisfy You. I mean, it was fine.
I mean, is R. Kelly at the point right now, though, where he's, like, instantly, like, a wedding killer? Like, R. Kelly comes on and
I think inside Chicago's only city you can actually get away with playing his music.
Like, you sitting there and it comes on and people are like, whoa.
Okay, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Northwest Indiana. That's all. And maybe you can get down to Indianapolis.
I mean... I feel you. I hear it.
I think it's a 400-mile radius around Chicago, basically. Is your level of R. Kelly.
Eventually, Chicago got to get embarrassed enough of it, though, right? I think it's coming, dog. Apparently, he's unlockable, though. People keep showing up and getting them. Like, I feel like R. Kelly could catch fag charges and get bailed out.
So, brother, you can feel like he was putting pounds up.
How is this dude keep getting out of jail? Like, what does he know? What does he know that I don't know? Like, he keeps getting out of jail. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I mean, I've heard from people that he's got a whole bunch of paper stacked away, and then these random people popping up actually with his money.
R. Kelly hiding that money because he know they're going to come for it.
And his ex-wife is trying to get that paper, too. Mm-hmm. And other people just coming up in general.
Man, I got $2,000. Like,
to my name, I'm in a negative. Look at my bank account.
He said, well, everybody knows R. Kelly's money was messed up. Like, come on, man. When you got talent like him, you can create.
And I'm just thinking, did he sell his publishing or anything? Because I know if I believe I can fly, anytime that comes on TV, that's a check.
Immediately.
For Space Jam, like, I mean, and think about all of the songs he's written for other people. So It's hard for me to believe he's straight broke.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. We'll see. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Musicians getting out of the paint, you'd be having to make some pimp choices, though. Because right now, like, Michael Jackson got folks jammed up.
I think, like, it's going to go away, though.
Like, I was listening to, I think that my man, what's his name, Van Lathan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on Bill Simmons' podcast, and he summed it up, like, perfectly, for me at least. He was like, man, Michael Jackson's too much of a fabric of who I am for me to give him up. Like, see, R. Kelly was always around, but R. Kelly wasn't a fabric of who I am.
Right.
Like, R. Kelly's kind of like a fabric of a state of mind. And, like, some music I was listening to way too early in my life that I shouldn't have been listening mm-hmm. to, but here we are. So, but, like, Michael Jackson? Come on, man.
That's why Marvin Gaye ain't been put out the pen.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know what? I think Marvin Gaye...
He died good at an early enough time.
Well, but I think Marvin Gaye still was a mood of music, though, too.
But no, I mean, like jams was, you gotta think some of our parents and stuff.
Michael Jackson, going on. Marvin Gaye never had the Thriller video.
No, but I'm just saying, but that's us thinking about people growing in the 60s and 70s with what's going on and stuff like that.
Oh, I get it. But I'm just talking about, like, I don't know if Marvin Gaye's legacy would have been any different with what, like, Marvin Gaye never gotten exposed to the extent that, like, R. Kelly and Michael Jackson had. They wasn't doing specials on cats back in the day. Like that. Like, it could still happen, I guess. But, I mean, if a Michael Jackson expose is pointless, what the hell is a Marvin Gaye expose?
Well, I think Marvin died at a good time. He died in 84. You really just kind of going off this people's hearsay at that point. There's no dirty gloves. It's just people that has stuff to say about him and how he moved.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but I think Marvin was from a grimier era, too.
Like real grimy.
Like, the grimiest of all eras, period.
The 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
A black man with some money in the 60s and 70s. And then you're hanging out with white people that have money at that time because things got crossed. So now you're hanging with the Rolling Stones maybe at some bar. You're hanging with Nikki Sixx or something. You know, like, you just... Those people are starting to cross line because before that, black people were separated musically. Like, right. Y'all hung out here, we hung out here. That 60s and 70s, them Temptations start hanging out with the Beatles, you know what I'm saying? Right. They may not be public, y'all together, but we at the same bar because it's the little private club we all go to. We all hanging out at.
Right.
Studio. I can't remember the name of them. Studio. Was it Studio?
Studio 54.
Studio 54. That crowd. That really start intertwining different walks of life of people. I'd be like, oh snap! There go Rick James. I'm Mickey Rourke. You know what I'm saying? We in the same spot.
Right.
So right. I think that's what made it even more toxic is what I'm saying. Overall.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to get to our next question, but getting musicians out the paint, it pulls at you in a little bit different way because you got to sacrifice a little bit of you. I think that bond with music is a little different
I think this Michael thing is going to blow over in 6 months. I don't know about this R. Kelly thing because he's still alive. If you're not alive, you get away with stuff. You got
to
die.
There's nobody to persecute.
Right, you got to die.
Yeah.
Like, if you did, it's like, then people start... Think about R. Kelly died.
Are you willing to die to sacrifice to spare your name?
We'll see. next up, shout out to Double D. He is consistently saying he's going to email into the show until his name is exonerated from the Trump.
I don't think
Trump
he's going
to
let this
happen. And he wants to be off the Black History Draft.
No.
So he's going to email all the questions he says until then.
That's an honor.
That's an honor to be a part of Black History Draft.
Get my uncle on here one day.
So he's got GOT hip hop. What up, fellas? Listening to the 412 show, your ex-victor Jamie Lannister was all Kobe Bryant instead of LeBron. And Shaq fits perfectly as the Mad King to me. He says Mad King stuff on every TV show.
Wait, hold on. I want to hear the correlation between Kobe and Jamie Lannister, though.
Because I don't think he's redeemed himself, though.
I guess
people are starting to maybe like him more.
I don't think.
That's the next generation.
But I don't think Kobe ever had the follow. Like, Kobe retired a hero.
Right.
I guess Jamie still could.
That's what I think he's saying, maybe.
Like, Jamie's kind of broke down now. He ain't the player he once was. But I don't think that this Sunday in the Battle of Winterfell, we're going to get a 61-point performance from Jamie.
With a torn Achilles.
Yeah. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen.
He says, so I can comment while the thought is fresh. He's saying Bron should be Deion Sanders. Then he says, although the Kardashians are sand snakes and Amber Rose is the Tyrell chick are good picks, I can't co-sign using white women there as the plenty of assistants and Latinas. Amber Rose is black, for the record. She's Cape Verdean. It's an island off the coast of Africa. Sand Snakes, I got 3OW, laughing out loud. And their mama is tiny.
3OW.
Oh, man. The Tyrell chick, I got Jessica Alba. Jessica Alba. Marjorie Tyrell, I think he's saying. Super cold, but for real down with uplifting the common people. Ober and Martell, I think y'all got...
I don't think that Jessica Alba got enough sinister... Like, Jessica Alba...
Amber Rose, because the people would still be on the low-low.
Yeah, she never wanted to be the queen.
Amber Rose wanted to be
the
queen.
Do you want to be a queen? No, I want to be
the queen.
And that ain't never struck me as Jessica Alba.
No. Amber Rose out here doing the slut walk and at the same time trying to get your favorite basketball player to get her pregnant. Mm. All in the same time.
Multifaceted.
Yep. Just like Marjorie Tyrell was.
Yeah.
Ober Martell, I think y'all got caught up in his death more than his life. His life, to me, has more choosing of Tupac. Love Biggie as Robert Baratheon, though. The older Tyrell lady, I got Oprah. And her husband is Stedman, even on the show.
That's real.
That's real.
That's real.
Because he was showing up in the background just listening to whatever she was talking about.
Yeah, that's real.
Love OBJ as Loris. I actually have Nas as Jon Snow, not Grey Worm. Resurrect his career and elevated his spiritual game, but sticks to his roots. Serena Williams is Lady Brienne, now Sir Brienne. I was going to put Suge as Night King, but the mountain is better. He has Eazy-E as Tyrion Lannister. And his last part, he has Simone Biles, Arya Stark.
Mm.
Bran, I like Kent Jaden Smith pick, but I'm going to go with Cat Williams.
Aww.
Was climbing high and got pushed off, but while everyone else views him as down and out crazy, he's quite sane and frequently drops truisms on the wickedness of showbiz. Sam Tarley, I'm actually going with Nick Cannon. Everybody calls him corny, but sharp as a whip in the building of a legacy. Love Michael Jordan as Tywin Lannister.
There's no other choice. There's no
he
other choice.
He put love in caps.
There's
love.
No other choice. Michael Jordan is definitely Tywin Lannister. Next time you look at Michael Jordan,
think about Tywin
Lannister and just picture it.
Rhaegar, I got Marvin Gaye. Bruce Bolton, I got Bill Cosby. Charm and sophistication mixed with straight savagery. I can't even hate on that one. Sansa Stark going with Rihanna. Early Rihanna was all happy, poppy, and idyllic. Grown Rihanna is raw and uncut. Danny going with Beyonce. She, like Danny, is a movement, is willing not to do just whatever she must to get where she wants, but also genuinely and with gusto. Barriss and Selmy, they got rid of him because Cersei claimed he was too old to complete his duties and humiliated him. She did not like him, and he was loyal to Robert and the main thing. He deserved that at all. Little Richard's who I'll go with for him. One of the greatest musicians of ever, and they just kind of got pushed aside.
Mm-hmm.
Jorah Mormont going with Tiger Woods on this one. Noble family, but with a tragic fall, but survived through numerous issues to regain honor.
I don't know. Tiger family ain't too noble. You ever read about Earl Woods?
No,
Earl Woods was A1 savage.
Oh, word? What was Earl
like?
Woods?
That's how the whole thing happened. Like he swooped down on his mom's cross seas on one of them military missions.
Oh, word!
And then like Earl came back and Earl was savage
in
savage.
The streets.
Yes, like ultra savage, like A1 savage.
Oh, so he just
like you can't even have a crew around this cat because
he's gonna try to take your girl.
Like, remember when Bran described what the Night King wants this week? Where he's like, he just wants the longest night possible.
Yeah.
He just wants to kill humanity. Yeah. That's Earl Woods.
Damn. He just wants all the women.
Yes.
Damn.
He's an older man that wants all the women.
Damn. Okay. He says, Davos, tough one. I'm going to go say Fab Five Friday from the Hype Mans of Hype Men. David's homeboy, that pirate that actually was black, is Big Boy. I forgot his name. The black dude that got killed in Blackwater. That was with him. That was his second in command.
Yeah, he got blown up quick.
Yeah, I thought we had more to go with him.
Yeah, he got his watch ended in a hurry.
Yeah. Cersei going with Stacey Dash and no explanation needed. Joffrey, Kanye West.
Nah, hold on. We gotta stop that.
Okay.
Stacey Dash. She straight up turned on her position in life. Like, she turned her back on her people in order to be a completely different person.
Don't even know. There's not a character on Game of Thrones that would be.
Cersei is
always
been Cersei. Always.
Joffrey, Kanye West, sidebar. The actor who portrayed Joffrey did one of the best overall performances in the entire show for me. Do so the hell out of being really forced to hate him. Mike Tyson. I'm actually going to cast as the red-headed wilding dude, Tormund. He's talking about Tormund. I like that is Jon Snow's homie. Starts with the seat, my torment. And then he says, Mashal Ali is Uncle Benjamin.
Oh, damn, he is.
Damn.
He might have to be. Cold hands.
Because he'd do every fucking thing. Yeah. And you don't even know about it.
Yeah. Even though I feel like...
Ice Cube is still a good choice in the moment. Yeah.
Even though I feel like Benjamin might show up with the White Walkers this week.
I can see that.
And Jon Snow going to have to fight him.
We're going to see a whole bunch of random motherfuckers show up. Then.
Yeah, we're going to see everybody.
Last but not least, Ned Stark. I actually am going to go with Bob Marley.
Who did we pick for Ned?
Who did we pick for Ned?
I can't remember. It's been too long since we did all of that.
Yeah, I can't remember who we picked for Ned.
There's a list. We'll find
it. Yeah. All in all, great show and great ideas. Sorry, my emails were long. My email was long. Anyway, kid, but the great work escapes me from everything I have going on in my life. Let's enjoy the series. Peace and blessings.
Hey, yo, so I had a secondary thought. First of all, I appreciate that email.
I really appreciate
the depth on that.
Yeah.
Bran might actually be Prince, who changed his name to the symbol and started acting even more different.
And then went back to being Prince, and then went back to kind of being different, this a new person, but still weird and different.
But still that symbol and still different. Like, Prince might be Bran. But then again, actual Prince might be the Night King. Just because that's some shit that Prince would do.
Like, fuck it. I'm out of here.
Like, let's not rule out Prince ever coming back. Prince could fuck around and go on concert tour next year.
Yeah. He could go next year and you'd be like, what the fuck is Prince doing?
I bet. I'm going to go see it. Because Prince is forever. But like, yeah. Bran might be Prince.
That's funny.
Second thought. Because he just changed his whole swag up. And then like anybody that addresses him contrary to his decided swag, he looks at him like,
unspotted.
Well, I'm not quite that anymore, am I? Like, man, what the fuck is wrong with this little dude?
For all those keeping the game show up, we put Ned as, I'm pulling up the spreadsheet now, Ned Stark is...
Bill Withers.
Yeah, that would be hilarious if we did do some shit like that. Did we put... Oh, MLK.
That's right. That's right. MLK. That's right. That's right.
Dr. Martin.
One time for him.
Yeah, so everyone's interested about this London tour, man. Was over there for the nice patrons of my job.
You was over there for a fortnight.
Definitely over there like for 6 days.
Fucking Wimbledon.
Yeah, man. It was. So I've worked most of the days, but I would get out, but I'd be up, but I'd be sleepy because it's 7 hours difference.
Yeah.
So, like, I would be all off. I literally would be, like, taking naps. Like, if it was, like, an hour, hour and a half, like, in the middle of the day, like, yeah, everybody can kind of do their thing, I would go take a nap. Like, straight up take a nap. Because my body was all off from being overseas. But, man, I went to... the last couple of days, I got to go visit, do some major sightseeing. So, you've been in London, right?
Yes.
So, you did the Jack the Ripper tour, right?
Yes.
What'd you think about that? I thought that was the best. That was the highlight of my
trip. So here's the thing. The entire time that I was doing it, I was thinking, man, I hope they don't try no shit like this in St. Louis.
So for like Boss Man?
Yeah.
Like the Boss Man tour?
Because I'm like, we walking around and I'm looking
Google
around.
That people, Boss Man. It's a real person.
And like my St. Louis sense is on the whole time. Like we walking down all these dark
alleys. And it was dark too? Because you did the 7:30 tour, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I had to be.
This is the nighttime.
And I was like, man, let somebody trip. Like, I'm tuned up out here already. I have no clue of where I'm at. But the dope thing about it is where it ends. You and like how I pictured London looking like when Sherlock Holmes was out there.
Yep.
Like,
that was the crazy part about the end of the last one.
Well, the main thing I tripped off about the city is how fucking old it is. Like,
super
it's
old.
Old,
but like, it's like crazy. Like the newer buildings look so new in comparison to the old buildings. Like a big contrast.
It's like Gotham City, dog.
Damn, that's a good comparison. Yeah.
Yeah.
But their new buildings look dope though. Yeah. Like their new construction is killing like any U.S. new construction to me. Mm-hmm. Like design wise or architecture wise, but they got a lot of old buildings.
Well, they gotta keep that though.
It's historical reason.
Like they're never gonna just level old London, even though like the oldest parts of it are gone. Did you go to Buckingham Palace?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Went to Buckingham Palace. It's pretty cool. They didn't have any tours going on then. They didn't start the tours until end of May.
The Queen must have been home then.
Queen's birthday was the weekend.
Oh, yeah. They never do tours when the Queen is at home.
Okay.
So you can only do it when she's away.
Okay, so that's why it's end of May then. She does her... Yeah, because her birthday was on Sunday and on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So people was turned up in England because you get off Friday and Monday, government mandated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have to go to work, you get paid double whatever. Like, you have to pay somebody double if they're coming in on Friday and Monday.
Send me to work.
Yeah. And you got to get paid double. But I end up going to Usain Bolt's bar restaurant.
He's got a bar restaurant.
It's called Trackin' Records. It's called Trackin' Records. So it's a hip-hop Jamaican restaurant bar. One of the dopest spots I've been to in a long-ass time, dude.
That's hot.
The DJ is, like, spinning. Like, when you come in, the DJ's right there and you spin it. So you walk right in, you like, oh, I'm up in here. You ain't got no seat. You ain't looked at no menu. You don't know what's going on here. You just like, because literally you walk in and you see the DJ. Like, you don't get to get in your seat, no nothing. You see him spin. And he playing classics.
Mm-hmm.
And you like, oh, this is it. This is the joint. And then the food was good. And it was all black people. Like, I didn't see any white people there at all.
So the thing about the food over in London,
it sucks.
That I tripped off. See, it wasn't bad for me. I went to a lot of different places that like was like, you gotta realize like, how big of a melting pot that city is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had the best Indian food I ever had in my life.
I went to all the ethnic. I realized it's your regular American, regular bar food is not good.
Yeah, no, I mean,
just to go get some fish and chips at a random bar, I'm saying it's not good.
No, I didn't want that anyway. I felt like it was being cliche. Like when I go to Philly, getting a
Philly cheese
steak, getting a cheese steak. But yeah, so I was wondering if it was. I was wondering if you went ahead and did it the right way. Like I had some good Mexican food in London.
I did not do Mexican. No.
I had their breakfast was good. I had some
like
good,
like an English breakfast type thing.
Yeah. It was the most expensive breakfast I've paid for.
Yes,
my life.
Definitely.
Because we was in some hotel that's like right by the London Eye, like right off over there by Parliament, and I was like,
Okay.
Damn, we done broke some cakes, man.
So no, I went to one for mine right by the London Bridge, but between London Bridge and Tower Bridge.
Okay.
And it was hidden too. They was taxing over there too, like because you're looking at the river. Right from that joint, so they hit.
But I hit it for me, honestly, man. It kind of reminded me eating over here in some places because it was like I was eating at like I went to a hookah bar, you know what I'm saying? Had some pizza, you know, different stuff like that. I was like, they kind of live like.
I didn't like
right?
the food though, except when I went to ethnic spots.
Well, yeah,
like ethnic food, like Jamaican food,
ethnic
Indian food
is always better.
Chinese food was good. What else did I end up hitting? Oh, Italian. All that stuff was good, man. But just going to get like some regular food. Oh, and it was some. I had an amazing pot pie.
I thought you were about to say you had some Popeyes.
No, I looked it up.
Is Popeyes in London?
No, not at all. It's not in the whole thing of.
It's not in the European
UK.
Union.
No, it's not. Like it literally just kept spinning. You know, like the little map just kept spinning. Like,
can you imagine if they dropped some Popeyes off over there? Like, what would be something that we could give to the world to make them like America better? Like
Popeyes,
you come in fresh back over from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what could we do to kind of be like, you know what? Some of us just are assholes, but here's an offering.
Crown Royal. I did not see Crown Royal at any.
Crown when I was
I didn't see Crown Royal at any. I went everywhere, and I asked for Crown everywhere, and they were like, we don't have Crown.
I asked, I said, what do y'all have to drink? So then the same thing that y'all got. I was like, well, I want something that I can't get.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then I didn't stop ordering it after I didn't see it a few times. Now I was like getting some other random whiskeys and vodkas and stuff from over there.
Right, yeah.
And beers. Like, I was big on the this London Pale Ale. I forgot the name of that bad boy. But it was good, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Another thing is, like, they hang out there. Like, just random people. Like, if you going, you go past the London Bridge train station, you go back into the neighborhoods area. I went to, like, it was like a day party. It was a white day party. I've never seen this before. But they had food trucks within the day party.
So it was still an all-white party.
Exactly.
Except for you.
Exactly me. Okay. My black ass. It was a couple of the black. Another thing I noticed is that American culture has affected the world by far. I feel like particularly more women. I feel like, because I felt like it was a whole bunch of women particularly wearing like the Kardashian long weaves and things like that. I saw a lot more than that than when I was in college when I went over. I just felt like it was a little bit more. Maybe that's just generally style changing, period. I don't know if that. It just felt like I saw a lot more women trying to look like that Kardashian.
Nah, they embrace it.
You know,
there.
Look. You know what
they
I mean?
They embrace it. I mean, they see the same stuff as us. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, they watching the same things that we peeping.
And then I went to the club with some of my coworkers that were Jamaican. And they had me in VIP and stuff. So this line for this club was one of the longest lines I've seen in my life. It was all black. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is amazing. Like, what is going on? And so we're in VIP and like, you know, like here we got like the sparklers and stuff. Like their girls come out dancing and like twerking to like reggae music for your booth. Because, like, you spending way more. You spending, like, I was like, yo, y'all spending some paper up in here. Because you looking at a bottle of Crown was, like, $500. I'm just giving you, not a technical bottle of Crown, but just giving y'all perspective of how much it was. And 500 pounds, so that's really, like, 650 American dollars. Mm-hmm. And then I was just bouncing around, man, everywhere. I was getting mad a little bit in the Crown Jewel. I went to see the Crown Jewels, and I got mad.
I saw you complaining about that.
Yeah, it hit me. All of a sudden, and the conspiracy ninja in me came in the middle of the thing, man. It just hit me, and it said 62 diamonds or whatever for this queen. And I was like, did these come from Africa? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, they did. Let me go. I'm going to start from 1708 on forward as all these diamonds is coming from the motherland.
I can only imagine how angry the inner activist in you got
is. I was like, yo.
You see, I have my peace because I've just come to understand that at certain points in time, some crazy stuff was going on. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't even feel like any type of way anymore. I've just learned to accept these things.
Yeah, no, that's real.
But you are not at that point.
No, no,
you're
no.
never going to be
no,
at that point.
No. Yeah, I can push it down for so long because I saw so much stuff over the week and it got pushed down. That little man was like, you know there's some bullshit, right? And I kept on pushing. I'm like, you're just having fun. You're just experiencing Kensington Palace. You're experiencing these different things. Just experience it.
Yeah.
And I got to the Crown Jewels. The end of my trip.
Don't be that person that's like watching Game of Thrones asking where the black people are.
Yeah. No.
Don't be that
No,
person.
I'm not. I mean, yeah, that's not.
Because like this is, there weren't black
First
people.
First of all, the Nation of Islam is on there. I'm fine.
Okay.
You know, the Unsullied is Nation of Islam. They're there. That's all. I mean, that's all we need, baby.
That's fair.
Now, the Nation of Islam gets taken out next week. Then we may have a different discussion next week on the show about our feelings that the NOI is gone.
Well, Jon Snow got one of them lineages now where he's got like black people problems where like he got a different daddy than he thought he had.
So now he can be adopted.
Yeah, we might have to take Jon Snow.
And he's all perplexed because he don't know what to do.
Yeah, like
he can't get mad at him because he can't get mad at Ned for real.
Nah.
But he's mad at him because like you found out he was adopted.
Yeah.
But it's like, but damn, he took me in, he didn't have to.
We gonna find Jon Snow with some headphones and listen to that Shaq, My Biological Didn't Bother. Like, that's Shaq, that's gonna be Jon Snow all day. Anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed
London. Yeah,
London,
man, I had a good time, man. London's
a dope
time.
It's a dope city.
I'm maybe going back in October, man, for the Bears game with some of my boys, I'm thinking, man.
I do enjoy London. It's a good time.
Yeah,
but
man.
I know that your trips abroad didn't stop you from staying plugged in. With mainly your favorite saga of the moment, which is 50 Cent versus T.I. Maurice.
Look, I get up every morning.
Yeah.
And it's not what I want to see with the news. Like CNN, you know, the Paris church started burning when I was on my way over there. No.
I thought that might have been you. I thought you might have had like an angry moment. Like, y'all not paying attention to the black churches. We ain't gonna be here to take y'all. Why? I'm sitting there watching TV like, they're gonna burn down Notre Dame. Just angry. It's only like an hour train.
Yeah, no. I was gonna go, but I didn't get a chance to get over there.
So you are saying you didn't have anything?
No, I have nothing to do with that.
Okay.
So I don't look at CNN. I don't check Facebook. I check 50 Cent's Instagram. Because I figured it was 7 hours ahead. He'll get me abreast what's going on in the world that I need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 Cent starts out. So first of all, 50 Cent starts out. He has his beef with Tierra Marie we've been talking about over time. He comes on. Tierra Marie comes out with this song called I Ain't Got It.
Mm-hmm.
He says, fine. You know what? I'm going to trademark it. You can't use the song anymore. And I'm selling T-shirts. Then she doesn't show up in court. So 50 instigates her getting a court warrant for her to go to jail for not coming up to court. Then he actually trademarks the law is the law with a gavel. If you see this, with a gavel on a T-shirt.
Hey, 50 is disrespectful as hell, dog.
So he figures out a way. Look, he's in court on the picture previously before that, talking about the law is the law, sitting in the judge's chair.
How did he get there?
I don't know. This is pettiness, man.
I need to take a picture from my Instagram. Let me go into court real quick.
Let me give Sly somebody $300 real quick. Let me go ahead and get in here. Then, he took down the Young Buck post. It looks like he took down the Young Buck post. He went in on Young Buck about Young Buck's new album. He took it down, though. Oh, he took it down, man. Okay. All right. Damn. That sucks. But he was basically saying Young Buck, because Young Buck had these rumors of him having sexual relations with a transgender woman. And, you know, it was a whole thing. He was on the phone with her, and the woman took phone records of him on the phone with him. It was him on the phone. He was like, why are you doing this to me? You know, and stuff like that. And then, so 50, as petty as he is, I didn't know he was not affiliated with G-Unit anymore. Maybe that's why he took it down. I don't know, because maybe Young Buck called him and crying again, if everybody remembers this, from around the 2006.
No, I remember. Yeah, I remember. That was a
but it was saying, he said he had a picture of Young Buck, like, looking distraught in the car. And he said, why don't you go ahead and just, you do what you got to do and just go to your fan base. The LGBTQ community will support you. I was like, oh, man. No, man. And then he took it down. So maybe he saw, probably got some heat over that one. But he took that one down. But 50 Cent, man, is he's literally like, why would you even try to come at him? I don't know why Tierra Marie is doing this stuff. We're trying to just pay that man his money. You don't want this trolling.
Because no matter what she does at this point in time,
you think it's too late now.
She's gonna continue to take the fades. Yeah.
So is this too late?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. There's nothing to do. There's nothing.
Because he's going to make t-shirts saying, I got my money or something. Like, yeah, I finally got my money.
Yeah, he's going to just continue to get us. So she.
I wonder how much he's really getting off these t-shirts. Do you think some people are buying these?
I don't have a clue. You would be that. You'd be.
I mean, I guess I'd be. Yeah, I guess I'd be.
Yeah, I know you'd have one if you was really moving.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of passe one. But I definitely would want to know if anybody's got one, let us know.
Yeah,
let
them know. Send a picture with them. We want to know what's going
on. Yeah, I want to know if anybody's got one of those.
So meanwhile, while you were across seas, we're going to kind of run through these because there's so much. We're just going to do a big reaction to this at the end. Once again, we had one of those little time periods where I was like, hold up, are white people losing their minds again? Or the people getting caught up? So I feel like what's going on here is that like the whole sensation of going back and checking out old tweets has now spilled into real life too, with people getting like generations old receipts pulled on them. And this really hit a high note.
Are you going
to
Nick Bosa?
Well, Nick Bosa definitely got his receipts called on him. He sounds like he should be pitching for the Brewers too. But he's going to be a 49er later on tonight.
So embrace it.
I'm going to have to learn to live with it.
Embrace him.
The Philadelphia Flyers took down this something I didn't even know existed, which was a Kate Smith statue. So apparently the lady that sung God Bless America had a statue outside of where the...
Now that was crazy to me.
I was like, hold up.
A statue.
At a sporting event? Like at a venue for sports, y'all have a statue up there? But apparently the statue had to come down because there came out a report that although she sang that song, she was also singing straight up racist lyrics back in the day too. Like singing them what's that movie? The main racist movie from way back in the day.
Oh, you talking about
Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation.
Sound like she was on some Birth of a Nation.
Or even what's the other one? The Song of the South. The one where the animation of the Disney animated one.
Song of the South was really terrible. Yeah. But they covered the statue up first, so it looked like she's about to take that Cersei stroll, and then they took the whole thing down. So
I didn't even know they had that at the
I didn't even know that existed.
But is this the same place as Sixers play too?
Yeah. So it's like she died at age 79 in 1986. So this has been established. And she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom back in 1982. And
shout out to Reagan for that. That's Reagan, the Reagan time.
Mm-hmm. So it said that she had lyrics such as someone had to pick the cotton, someone had to pick the corn, someone had the slave. And someone and be able to sing, and that's why the darkies were born. Hold on. And she's straight out here crooning this, like dropping it like real knowledge.
But are we surprised on this?
I'm not surprised by anything. I mean,
I'm just crazy that these
look
cats.
At the two, but here's the thing, look at the two foremost American patriot songs. Both of them have, one of them has straight up racist lyrics included in it, and it's like the biggest piece of revisionist history of all time where they just don't. Conveniently don't include that verse.
Yep.
But still want people to stand up and salute that.
And get mad if somebody else decides to protest.
Yeah. Because it's you shouldn't take it this seriously looking ass. But yeah, man. So what's your thoughts on that one?
Can we put this in I guess this ain't this week in racism.
Well we've got a number of things we're gonna get into. It ended up being a surprisingly racist run for about, you know, 10 days there.
Yeah,
You left country there.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
So they decided
I was,
to wild out.
Yeah, so I was, you know, really getting abreast of my British politics at the time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not mad or sad either way. I'm glad if they take it down. I don't give a fuck if they now. I'm fine with them taking a statue down, but I wouldn't give a fuck if they played the song still. But I'm cool if they don't play it. If they do play it, the Hurt God Bless America. I don't care either way. But I'm cool with it. I'm glad they took the statue down. That's getting good.
I just picture every time you got them little kids sitting out there in the outfield singing it at the ball game, like. Y'all need to really pay attention to the type of people that you got there.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, ooh.
But in a slightly shocking turn in the other direction from the Northeast, Vermont and Maine, of all states, decided that Christopher Columbus Day is out, as far as they're concerned.
And it's that's weird, too, though.
Vermont and Maine, pinnacles of
diversity.
Civil rights and diversity.
Well, I mean, what you call it is... Bernie's out of Vermont.
What's one guy?
But I'm saying they elected him for the last like 40 years as a senator.
When you sit there, you think about forward movement. Do you think about Vermont? I tell you what, the only time I think about Vermont is when I'm playing Monopoly, usually. And
that's
like,
it.
I don't want that one, but I'll take it if nobody else gonna buy it.
That's the only. Actually, I like to pick up them little slumlord places. People don't think about them.
Like Baltic Avenue.
Oh, I love that. You come right around that 200 collecting, go and put keep going to slide that all over to me.
We're gonna have to have a scenario of
Monopoly game. Invite some more people and like drink and play Monopoly.
Like five people, so there can be somebody that falls into poverty right away. And somebody didn't get mad that everybody
look,
else
and look, and we got hood rules too. Don't get it twisted. I'm talking about you can do bank loans, I mean side bets. Free parking's got money up under. We doing all that.
Free parking ain't got no money underneath it. You a capitalist.
We about welfare in our game.
So, but anyway, though, the ACLU of Maine advocacy director applauded the state's efforts. Says it's time to stop celebrating a man whose arrival brought death, disease, and slavery to hundreds of thousands, and start honoring the people that lived here long before. I'm all about that. I'm
with that.
I got no problem with that.
Hope that becomes a trend.
Yeah, like, I have no problem with it. Like, hey, just because we always done something don't mean we got to keep doing
the same thing, exact thing.
And that brings us to the next thing we got going on here, too, where it's your favorite website, once again in the news, is Facebook.
The Facebook.
So, I'm going to admit something about Facebook, though. It's like, in the last few years, I've become more of a Facebooker than a Twitter.
Me too.
It feels to me like Twitter has become like the young club I don't want to go to anymore.
And I think I've curated my Facebook where I really don't see that much bullshit.
Right. Exactly. Like Facebook, I have it pretty much tailored to be what I want it to be. And I can see what's going on.
But Twitter will pop in random shit you don't have nothing to do with.
Yeah. Like I've gone to my Twitter and I've seen that like, I guess it's like the 10th year I've been on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So like I go back and I look and I'm like, man, I need to get rid of some of this stuff. Like some of these people. Because it's like, there's people on there that I look at, like, man, they have not grown up in 10 years.
They still talking about $200 dates.
You still out here sucking and jiving for likes. Now, don't get it wrong. There's a lot of shucking and jiving for likes on Facebook, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's equal opportunity on there.
It's a whole lot of just, I'm going to say something because I want a reaction.
Situations.
And that'd be like, man, there's a whole lot of people that are standing on their own personal molehills and they determine to turn them into mountains one way or another.
Yeah.
When nobody really cares in the first place. But anyway, Facebook said users are calling this getting zucked. They're saying it's getting zucked. Talking about how racism is censored as being hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a fight with some of this stuff on Facebook ourselves.
Yes.
Where even some of the episodes of our show...
Well, you can't have Trump in anything. We had to go through a whole process to even be able to put Trump's name in our shows and promote it on Facebook. Just putting the word Trump in there, period.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, we're making fun of something that's not political at all. Well, you can't put it up because it's political.
Based. Yeah. Which is another way, in my mind, to swerve the conversation.
Yeah.
It's another way to swerve the narrative away from something that they don't want for it to be on.
But we put Obama up and it's fine, though. Oh, like, we've had Obama's name in titles and it's been fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, but here's the crazy part about it is that, you know, lawmakers go to Zuckerberg and say it feels like the site has too much sway over what speech and free speech and stuff is. He says he agrees. So, like, the crazy thing that's starting to happen now is that the people that are facilitating social media conversations are now starting to come under fire for it. While ironically, they're some of the biggest purveyors of free speech there is.
Right.
But now these websites, Twitter and Facebook and all these different things are starting to be held accountable.
For what they're doing.
For people's actions and how social media has like shifted the way that people conduct and even process thoughts. It's crazy. Like people process thoughts every day for doing things that tailor their lifestyle more towards social media.
100%. 100%, man.
Like, do you feel like this, like, do you feel like chicks would took as many pictures back when we had Polaroids and stuff like that as they do now?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, do you think that it would have been as prevalent to everywhere you go
and
have that camera?
Yeah.
I think that
I've seen girls with Polaroids and cameras.
I feel like there's years. I feel like
the little throwaway cameras, they used to have them up.
And that's just girls. Let me just say this too. Not just girls, but I just feel like when you look at like phones, there's like a lot more pictures usually.
Well, you also gotta think that more people will be actually paying for pictures at venues, like at sporting events. People love to take pictures and like to be able to have like momentous things for a situation. So yeah, back in the day, if you went to the club, you was only the club cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
The dope dealer back in the day used to take 700 pictures. That's why we have pictures of all these dope dealers from back in the day. Be like, there go Alpo. Because he took 75 pictures in the club.
Well, it's just like dudes do it now, too. Dudes take a bunch of take crew pictures and stuff like that. Like, it's still a thing.
Ain't
like
no difference.
Yeah, there ain't no thing out there. I feel like a lot
it's
more...
It's more personalized. More singular pictures.
Way more singular pictures.
Way more singular solo pictures.
Here's the thing that I think, though. I think that the rush to get everything on to social media...
There you go.
...is the rush for so many pictures.
Because motherfuckers will wait 3 weeks to get their pictures developed.
Yeah, like, you're not finna be...
Damn, man. We do get to need to get them pictures developed from Cancun.
Because ain't nobody ever gonna see them except for you.
Yeah.
But now the rush to do that is a bigger thing. Like, look at some people and you see how their life looks amazing, but they work at, like, Wells Fargo. And you'd be like, man, you got to be going to work 5 days a week, but you're not putting that out there.
No. Like, was it the people that are, there people that will curate your experience to make you look like you're traveling?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, like, there's companies that will make you look, like, show, like really do dope things to make show you, like, in the Amazon jungle stuff, hiking.
Yeah. You I'm going like, to do that. I'm going to start living my life.
And pay that company $150 a month for you to
taking pictures by other people's planes and shit.
Shout out to Bow Wow.
Yeah, okay. in another way, but you know, it's interesting to see how social media sites end up catching some of the burden for what the racial speech is and how things go. We don't keep that in mind. A $5 billion fine is likely headed towards Facebook, though.
Damn.
For dealing with sensitive materials and things like that.
Sticking with the data breach and all that shit too?
Yeah, like everything. Like how they said, they just been running free and loose. It made me feel like Facebook wasn't breaking off the right people though.
Man, it seems like that, man.
It feels like Mark Zuckerberg is a little too rich. Like he should have been giving away a little bit of this bread.
Yeah, he should have been. I mean, look at Enron. They was getting away with shit for like 10 years. They ain't find out till it was.
What did my man Don Finucci said? You gotta let me wet my beak a little bit. You gotta let me wet my beak. That's it.
Yeah, just
like
this.
Meanwhile, Zuckerberg just showed up with a smoking gun in the drapes right away.
Yep.
Now you gotta pay the piper.
You gotta pay the piper.
In further signs of the world wilding out and being ridiculous and getting its racial roots, there was a student that was forced to use a marker to fill in his parts because it said that his hairstyle violated dress code at his school. Now this was down in Texas.
What was the city in Texas again?
Let's see. The tagline on this says it's the Houston Chronicle reported it. Pearland, in Pearland, Texas.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand though. Outside of Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, it's pretty much what you expect what all the other southern states are.
Well, yeah.
I mean, people think like Texas, no. It's a lot of Texas. Go out to West Texas or something.
Well, I get confused about Texas.
East Texas.
Because going to college with as many Texas people as I did, I came to find out that Texas was a completely different country than the rest of the United States.
Yes.
Chicago and Texas conducted themselves as if
New
they
York.
Had succeeded
New York too.
From the... Well, they didn't go to Mizzou.
Okay.
I'm talking about where I was at. Chicago and Texas had big parts of the population that were there,
mm-hmm.
and they acted as if they had succeeded from the rest of the United States.
That's true.
So it does not surprise me that this is the case. Hey, I'm all about your pride. Go for it. Your city is definitely not a part of St. Louis, as far as I'm concerned. So, But anyway, though, the student, who was identified as Jules, on his social media posts, which made me love
Shout out to my barber, Jules, too,
it
man.
Made me love the story.
But so that's funny, because it just, is it spelled with a Jules, like J-U-L-E-S?
It's a Z, for sure. Yeah, not Jules, like Jules on Pulp Fiction.
That's what's
on. Yeah, no, it's Jules, like Jewel Santana.
So, and how old is he again?
Junior high. So,
he really was probably named after Jewel Santana.
I don't know if that's his actual name or not. But
you made his name of being Jewel?
No, it says it here. It's a minor. They're not going to put his name into the story.
Right. Oh, they just used Jewel.
That's what he says on the social media post. Yeah, maybe they.
Oh, no, he was named after Jewel Santana.
Okay,
you got to think, if he's junior high, 13 years ago, who was popping? Dipset.
Yeah.
2006.
Just name more people after Jewel Santana.
Yeah.
But,
keep your head up, man. You ain't in jail right now.
Yeah, but so he said he had an M shaved into his head the day before. Hit the barber, put some style in him. I like how he's looking.
Yeah.
But then the assistant principal came
and
said,
did you ever have one of those crazy parts like that?
Not with my mother.
I never did either.
But
I never did.
The junior principal, this junior high, the assistant principal, not even the main pimp, the assistant pimp, jumps down. It says it's an extreme hairstyle and a carving that goes against school dress code.
Dress code. Damn.
And sent him and said the administrator reportedly told the boy he could call his mama or get in-school suspension for the infraction. And then there was a third option, to use a black marker to fill in the offending M.
Damn.
First of all, one letter in somebody's head ain't offensive, asshole.
No. Second, his mama didn't know about this or something.
Oh, no. She didn't find out until later.
Thirdly, fuck it. Get me in school suspension then.
One Facebook commenter wrote, sue the lunch off that school and the district. Sue the lunch off the school.
Damn. So that means nobody eating.
Bruh, that's incredibly racist.
Yeah.
Damn, like, that's appropriateness.
Yeah, like, you can be like, hey, you know what? You're going to have to do something with that. Like, we're not going to make you color it, but maybe we send you home or something because you did that. If that's the issue. And I see if it's an address code violation or whatever. But making him color it in?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck out of here, man.
I ain't doing it.
No. And even in junior high, I think I would have had a little bit more. I had a little bit more gumption about me not to do that shit. You gonna have to put me in.
You know what? I take that back. I did have a part, but I never had like.
That's why I had a part. Yeah,
had
but I'm gonna have my name.
Yeah.
I just had like a little part maybe going.
And I just had to remember. It's been too many years.
Yeah, but I never had. I never had letters in there or like a name in my back.
No,
or in my head or something.
Not knowing my.
No, like I mean, it was a big deal when I got a Gumby, and it was like, ooh, you in a gang now? I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, right.
That's when you know your parents be like, you know, you in a gang with that? Like. I just got a gun because of Bobby Brown.
I just want to be more like Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to be in a gang.
All right, man, I'm going to throw this next one at you.
Yeah.
As a parent and as a person who I don't believe would violate this, but you never know. this next one is about the high school administrator in Texas still, who has a new dress code as well, but it's for parents.
Yes.
James Madison, let's set the table first. James Madison High School, a public high school about 1,600 students in Houston, notified families this month of a sweeping policy that banned revealing and sagging clothing for all people visiting the school, which includes pajamas, hair rollers, satin caps, and bonnets.
I agree with this.
I do too. Go forward.
Look,
as a parent...
Man,
who's much closer to having a high school age child than you want to admit. You almost just had a stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah, a piece of your hair fell out.
Yes, that is true. She is 8.5 years from being in high school. You know what? I just think you should just, like, it's probably egregious, though. Like, if it was just one or two parents, but it's probably a gang of motherfuckers walking up in there with all bonnets and these hair nets and stuff, coming to PTA meetings and everything like that. Like, yo, you could just throw it in the car real quick. That ain't a big deal. you know what I'm saying, pull your pants up a little bit. And I get the identity politics of it. Things like, I don't think you should have to go to jail like the, like they were trying to do in, what was it, Wellston here, mm-hmm. where they were trying to give you tickets for not pulling up your pants. But yo, just come in here presentable. Just come in here presentable, because we're trying to be an example, have these kids be an example, at least have you be an example as well.
Oh, true. I agree with that 100% of the way. Like, my thing about it is that I don't see why we go out like that half time anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, come on, man, just throw something on.
And my thing is, like, how many... Oh, man, I'm not going to say that, man. Because I was going to say something real fucked up and very, very Republicanish. So I'm not going to do that.
If it's in your soul, brother, let
it go. No, it's not in my soul. It's a wrong statement, because if somebody said that...
You would feel like...
I would feel some type of way by my statement I was going to say. I would feel some type of way.
You just was about to say the type of thing you'd make a Facebook post about.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. But for everybody wanting to know, play the game, I was going to say...
Let's just not let it happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can cut yourself.
Yeah, cut myself. Let's
don't double down on entrapment with yourself. Like, you find a way out.
Don't stitch on myself.
Yeah, you find a way out.
Okay.
Like, you was about to be acting like old boy on Don't Be On Me on Minister Society.
No. It was three.
Yeah. Oh, you know you're fucked up.
Oh, no. I think it was one. But no, I got a milk. And I got some chicken. But you said before, though, you just got a milk by itself. No, I did. I was thinking about getting some Popeyes. I'm just...
Exactly.
You know you done fucked
up.
Then
you realized you was in London, where it wasn't
Popeyes. Exactly. What do you mean Popeyes?
That shit ain't even over here yet. Mate. Or whatever the hell it is.
We'll say mate. Mate. Shout out to, I got a couple of new listeners from the podcast from Random Bars. Okay. Got them subscribed, though. So shout out to... UK listeners, we already had a couple of them, but we added two. We doubled up. So we had six, now we have 12. But, I mean, man, I just want people just to be just a little bit better sometimes. But I get it. Some people don't know. But if you don't know, you got to show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's a way for you to maybe do that. It'd be kind of dope at the same time if the district could kind of figure out a way maybe having some not parents in classes, but something like maybe some once a quarter... It's a fancy name for it, but etiquette classes.
Yeah.
Something like that where you can offset, where we'll educate you, we're just not gonna put the hammer down on you, but let's do something.
They not coming to no classes. They didn't go to no classes the first time around.
See, that you going to see you just did what I was gonna say. Damn.
Oh well.
God damn.
That's kind of more of my purpose. See, I got a parent who was a teacher, so who had people dropping off their kids in her class any kind of way for years on years. And see, my thing about it is that I'm my grandfather's grandson, obviously.
Yes.
Because that's how that works. Yeah. But he never went out the house looking any kind of way.
No.
Now, I'll go to the store with some sweatpants on or something like that. Yo, he was going to the store, shirt tucked in. He could be going to pick up a tall can. He tucking his shirt in, put his hat on, and going to the store any kind of way. Exactly. So my thing about it is that I just believe in presenting yourself a certain type of way. I believe in that passive influence, you know what I mean? And like, especially us, because like, I'm not saying we got anything to prove to anybody, but I still say is that, yo, we need to show and represent as best as we can as a culture all the time. You know what I'm saying? So like, when I was in college and you saw people just wearing sweats endlessly and like, and it's like looking at this, like I was talking about this the other day with Tiffany. She was saying like, oh, I was way more dressed up than some of the people I was with. Sometimes I was like, what color was that? And what are you? Mm-hmm. Your standard a little bit different. And it should be.
Now, I want to backtrack here. I do have a London story where I went into the Ritz-Carlton cigar lounge, the same place that Queen Elizabeth goes for her birthday, in a full sweat outfit.
And they let you in?
Yeah.
Okay.
They let me backtrack. They stopped me at the door and first asked, do I have a room there? Like, no, I'm talking about like 10 white people walked in first. They literally stopped my black ass right there. Like, hey, sir, do you have a room here, mate? I'm like, no, I'm going to the cigar line. Okay, let me get somebody for you. They had somebody escort me into the room. They end up being cool because they end up seeing I knew my knowledge of my cigars and stuff. And he's like, oh, snap, you know what you're talking about. Then they start asking me if I was a rapper.
Okay.
That was the next step, is that if I was a rapper.
Yeah.
And then, was it you that said I should be Nas? Somebody, I text a couple people, and they were like, why don't you just say you Nas, and just see how far it goes.
Don't, no, it wasn't me.
But yeah, so I did wear a sweat outfit into the Ritz-Carlton, the one of the oldest hotels in Britain with a full sweat outfit. And it was like the Block Boy edition. Like, it was the zip up, nice ones. When a Block Boy is kind of dressed up a little bit with his sweat joint, polo sweats, the zip up polo with
Did
the.
Did you have a kufi on too? Or?
No, I had a STO, a black STO hat on too. God. Fitted, cocked to the right.
They had never seen anything like that.
No, man.
That's why they thought you was Black Money from the States.
And they was bringing me out free bottles of wine, everything.
What the hell?
Yeah.
There's pieces in this top tour. This is ridiculous pieces.
And it's certain things that have triggered me. So over the next few weeks, I'll bring out more random stories because it was 6 days. So you got to bear with me.
The three-eyed raven. You're a three-eyed crow.
Yo, it was hilariously amazing, man. I sat there, shut that bitch down.
Speaking of people that need to get stopped at the door.
Yes, sir.
Kanye West is considering starting a church following the success of his Sunday Sessions singing performance, which was finally made public at Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Over the
It was
the
a few snippets year. That were online previously.
Well, I'm talking about like an actual performance.
You can see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Shout out to Focus's sister Risha was one of the choir members.
Family right
there. But why do they all look like they were on an episode of Martin when the Najee Ramba episode?
Man, it legitimately was looking like one of them episodes in the It's only looking like the case like Kanye was trying to sell them clothes again.
Yeah, it's almost a brilliant thing though if he does this right.
Like Kanye was like, "Hey man, guess what?
I'm gonna use God.
I'm still gonna get these clothes off, but
because I got this inventory, I still got it.
Yeah, these sheets and burlap sacks that I had going on, I'm still gonna sell them." But Kanye starts a church. Let's just ponder.
A Kanye church.
Let's ponder what that is, first of all. Can you imagine? First of all, Kanye's going to be the pastor. He's not just going to start a church. Kanye's going to be up there on the stage yelling at people for 2 hours at least.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Easy.
But Kanye's church probably happened on like Tuesday. I'm not having my church on the day everybody else.
Because I want everybody to come to my church.
And you know what? Everybody in history that says my church is different, that's a warning sign.
Look, that's the beginning of a 2020.
Yeah.
Special.
Yes.
Or what was the one where
Hugh Downing is going to come back and be talking about your ass. You know, next story. Rapper Kanye, 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes too, or what was the other one? 48 Hours.
Or you'll be on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah now, just getting roasted.
Or Dateline.
Yeah.
What is the one? What was the name of the cult where they thought that the spaceship was coming by and they all killed themselves and they all killed themselves together?
Was that Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid?
No. They just killed each other. Just Jim Jones was crazy.
Okay.
But I'm talking about the ones that went all laid down because they thought that spaceship was coming by. It's not the Branch Davidians because that's David Koresh. Hell's Gates. It's something like that, man. Like the Hell's Gates. Heaven's Gate. It's Heaven's Gate. Okay. I just thought about the Heaven's Gate cult. They look like that. Heaven's Gate, when they all died and they found them all dead together. And there was one brother that didn't show. It was one brother that didn't show up though.
Yeah.
To the meeting that day. And he was like, "Oh no, I did the right thing." Like they the interview with him, he was like, "Yeah, I didn't show up that day. Now, I heard they was doing that."
Now I want to pause here for a moment and say that I don't believe Kanye West to be a cult leader. However, I
can see it though. If
it's
I told
not
you,
outside of the realm of possibility.
There you go.
Here's the thing: Kanye West has cracked into that rare group of people where you could say he did anything, and you would be like, "Oh, okay." This is also known as the Mike Tyson zone, where you could say, "I could come on here every week and say Mike Tyson did this," and you would be like, "Word," because there's nothing Mike Tyson can do that you wouldn't believe. Kanye West is firmly into that group for me too.
Yeah. No, he is.
Like, I can tell you, Mike, I can tell you that Kanye West started a cult church that only performed in a field out there, that did musical performances in a field every Sunday. You'll be like, yeah. You know why? Because that's what he did. And like 50 people could go, which makes me feel like he was bringing in trial things and ways.
Yeah.
When my guy went to one of them joints,
mm-hmm.
I said, "Hey man, is everything all good?" And he's like, "Yeah, don't worry about it." I turned it down hella times. I finally was like, "All right, fine, I'll go." I said, "Just don't get anything to eat. Don't get anything to drink while you're there. Just come back."
How do you say it was though overall?
He said it was cool. I mean, he said you look out in the crowd, you'll see like Spike Lee will be there, or like, you know, you'll see just random celebrities like through the crowd. And I'd be like, you do realize that, like, you like one of them celebrities that, like, people don't know as a celebrity. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a behind-the-scenes celebrity. Like, you somebody that all the celebrities know.
You're the guy in the picture that, like, the director in the picture, nobody knows who they are, like, the executive.
Yeah. Like
who is that
dude? Well, yeah, exactly. That's who. That
or is. The guy behind, like, the, when it's a big group shot.
He's
and you
Worldwide
don't
West.
There you go.
He's Worldwide West.
He's Worldwide West.
Yeah.
He's the guy, or he's the guy that's leaning in the picture and everybody like, hey, yo, Chris, come on, get in this. But it's like four of the people you know, and his hand is at the bottom of it.
No, he's not that. He's not that. He's the one who's in the picture that the famous
people
are getting
in with him. And
yeah.
He don't know, but you don't know who the
but
fuck
the
he is.
The average person wouldn't know. Yeah. So he's definitely not that person. Like, he almost accepted a Grammy. Like that. He'll come on the show this summer. When I go out to LA, I'm going to just take the stuff with
him. Yeah,
But yeah, so Kanye West Church, I think that's if there's odds, I'd probably put a little money on that.
Mm.
If it's like 16-1 that Kanye starts a church sometime in the next year and a half, I'd put $200 on that just to see what it would
be. Yeah, it'd be a good, probably good ride of a bet. If you lost it, you'd be like, okay. That's
You know what? If they brought out prop bets, we'll do this one. We'll do celebrity prop bets and see which ones feel like
what happened.
And matter of fact, put that on the list. We're going to do that soon. Celebrity prop bets edition of the scenario is coming up. Black celebrity prop bets.
Yeah.
So
I want to give a big heads up, man, to John Singleton, man, who's in a coma right now from a stroke, man.
Yeah, man,
I hope he gets gets better. He's in a coma right now, so that ain't
grand for that, brother.
That
stroke hit you at 51. That's tough. That's just crazy. And that's a brother too. So, man, we need all the brothers to continue to live on. That's one of the foremost.
And if he died, we never get a Tupac movie.
He one of the foremost noobs of all time.
He's a noob?
Yeah. So, I mean,
we need that.
So,
that's hilarious. Like, I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just funny that John Singleton is. That's fine. That's just funny.
What are you trying to say? You trying to say something about us or something about
No. It's him. I'm talking about him. Like, because you got to think how John Singleton like was back in the day, though. He was wild back in the day.
Well, fits the bill.
Okay.
Fits the bill.
Okay.
Pretty strong.
Because he went to USC, right? Yeah, to USC.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, somebody has figured out how to beat Jeopardy.
Yo, this
and that's, I would have thought, when they told me this at first, there's people about to be mad at what I'm about to say, but I don't care. When I first heard that somebody figured out how to beat Jeopardy, I was like, it must be Nigerian.
Ooh, I thought an Indian dude.
I immediately thought Nigerian.
Because you thought, you think he done got somebody behind the screen. And he got his palm with all the stuff on it because he running a scam.
You see what I mean? I was like, there's no way you can beat Jeopardy. Like, Jeopardy is almost as foolproof of a game as possible. Like, either you smart or you're not.
Or you thinking a quiz. You thinking he got a quiz show going on, like the movie Quiz Show.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but yeah. Yeah.
Damn, that dude is beasting it, man. He's up there doing Texas Hold'em on these motherfuckers on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming out the box going 500, American History 500. And he's getting to the point, this dude is already generating over $1 million.
Right.
The closest dude is $3 million, a dude, Jennings, that was on there like 70 times. They said he's on pace to break this in the next 3 weeks.
That's wild. That's wild.
He's coming out there $100,000 every show. Think about $100,000 every show. Some people can't even go to the final round because they don't have enough money to be in the last one. You have to have a certain amount of money to be at the last final Jeopardy.
We all breaking cats' backs, man. We all coming out like Bane on this Jeopardy.
And even if he lose the Daily Doubles and things like that, he got so much money built up, he don't give a fuck. He just like, I'm going to put a $26,000 on the Daily Double. $26,000? What? But he's so far ahead, say he's got 3,000 left over. He's still ahead of whoever.
He that dude that lands on Boardwalk and Park Place the two times around the board the first time, and then he just is like, yeah, I'm going to need them four houses and a Telemo. And you just
And all of a sudden, though, and he goes straight to the hotel. He ain't even,
he might be the Night King, dog.
Man.
Night King is on Jeopardy.
But he's a gambler, too, though. But then they said he sat there, he built a machine in his house for Buzzer. He literally bought all these books and literally did it for 3 years and just watched Jeopardy and had his own buzzer and just gamed it.
Bro, that is horrifying. That's like some Batman shit.
The problem is now Jeopardy's going too because everybody's going to try to mimic this shit. Now it's going to be a race to who can figure out who can come on and beat him.
Well, now they just got to start changing it into different categories that people can't
crazy
like
shit.
Black Twitter.
No, he was getting that shit. He was getting black. The nigga sweep the Black History section with flying colors.
First of all, you just gave him honorary status with that one.
Yeah. No, that was when I was like, he knew Matthew Henson. He had...
I ain't talking about that. I want him to be like...
No. He knew, like, Black History. That I was like, that I would just...
Name everybody in the Wu-Tang Clan.
That motherfucker get it, I bet. Wow. This dude was getting categories like Asian Silk Greggs.
What? Something going on here.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Something going on.
Like, dude, he's getting categories. Also, he's quick, clean, sweeping people where people can't even hear him the buzzer.
No, there's something happening here. There's
Alex Trebek is hooking
up. There is treachery afoot.
Gotta be.
And I'm not having it. I'm gonna go.
The dude Jennings, he said he met with a dude. He's like, no, this dude's legit. The dude that is the record holder, he's like, no, the dude is legit. He's like, he is literally a cyborg. Like, he is...
Well, he's probably like Rain Man or something. Like, he's probably got, like, a photographic memory.
Something that's, like
crazy dialect recall. Like, it's probably... Because that's probably how he's good at gambling. He knows how to count numbers. He knows how to remember sequences. He's just
probably, fool said, I'm going to make $164,000 to show because his daughter's birthday was January 6th of 2014. It was some, like, number he wanted to exactly get.
Yeah, see.
So the motherfucker bet the number on the final one for it could be his daughter's birthday. The numbers in a row could be his daughter's birthday.
Yeah, like, he's, like that's the equivalent of, like, basically he's the Dame Lillard of the joke.
Dude, he bet the exact amount he could have his daughter's birthday in a row. The dude be writing messages to people in the, like, the little teleprompter. Like, shout out to my cousin Leroy from 56th Street. The answer is George Washington. Yo!
Yeah.
Shouting out girls he like.
He's probably like Professor X. Like, what would Professor X do if he was, like, completely off OC? Like, hey, I'm gonna use these powers to do whatever I want. Hey, man, see, there's some mutants out here, duh.
Dude.
Marvel then got bought up by, Fox and got bought up by Marvel, by Disney.
And the X-Men and Fantastic Four back home.
Yep. See?
Crazy. Mentioning Damian Lillard. Yo.
I want to do a disrespectful.
Russell Wilbrick won't be the same. He literally took his life.
I want to do a disrespectful moments bracket. I want to do like the 16 most disrespectful moments of all time. And that's got to be on there.
Dude, yeah. And everything that happened after it made it worse.
And it was so disrespectful that it inspired massive disrespect that just could get laughed off. Like, Paul George came out, that's a bad shot. I don't care what nobody say.
And no, everybody was like, no, it's not.
Right.
Because he had 60 on y'all. He can take that shot. If you have 60.
It was 50.
Yeah, 50.
47. That was the
50th point. But if you got that many points, you can shoot where the fuck you want.
But I mean, the thing about it is that it was... You come out and you say that much disrespect. It was a bad shot. But it was a shot that sent you home. So here's the sequence of events that happens. Mm-hmm. Dane Lillard gets the ball and the entire team just goes to the corner.
Well, I think you should go back to him, Westbrook talking about him.
No, I'm not worried about that. People know what's going on.
Well, some people know.
They can watch it themselves. Okay. I'm not doing sports analysis, breakdown, play-by-play for them. I get paid for that. But
get this for free.
Because the sequence of the disrespect is the only thing that really matters.
Yeah.
So he gets it the night before. Did you read the story about what he said the night before?
No.
He was sitting at his house watching the other games on Monday. His family over there. They said he was over there eating some fried fish and some red beans and rice and just said out of nowhere, I'm finna end this motherfucker tomorrow.
Damn! Hold up, what? Hold on. So he just sitting there with his plate in the corner?
This is literally a story. It literally went out. As that.
Yo. He may have... Did he take Russell Wilson's heart?
Russell Wilson?
No matter Russell Wilson, Russell Westbrook.
Russell Wilson has come up.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook.
No, Russell Westbrook's fine. If he would have hit the shot on Russell Westbrook, that would have been something else. But they said throughout that game, though... I will do a little play-by-play here.
Okay.
Throughout the game, wow. He was looking at Russell Westbrook like, quit switching off. Quit running. You can't run from this. Like, because, you know, Russell Westbrook was talking crazy to him the
talking
entire time.
Talking about, I own him. Yo.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He said,
for several minutes, this is from Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
For several minutes.
This is a reputable source.
Lillard was, the Portland Trail Blazers guard sat quietly on his sofa, chowing down on fried catfish, red beans and rice and broccoli. And then suddenly he spoke.
Oh, Hold on, so he didn't say nothing. Though. I can just see him just eating.
Yeah, like, he's just chilling, sitting over there on the couch right now, just chilling, doing his thing, watching TV. I'm getting rid of these motherfuckers tomorrow. And then went out promptly the next night, became the first player in history to have 50 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 something else in the game. And hit a 37-foot three
to end it
on one of the best defenders in the NBA to end the series.
But you can't get mad at Paul George for the way he defended it, though.
He hit him with the sucker punch, but he didn't. But it wasn't a club punch.
No. Because he was like, yo, I'm gonna get you up here to this 3-point line. He even came up a little bit, maybe two, three feet from the 3-point line on him.
And gave him that action.
But he was like, no, I'm pulling up from almost at the blazer.
Yeah, pure action. But then they look in the streets as a bad shot, but then he's hit 6 of 8 shots from that distance. That's in the true. Playoffs.
Yeah.
Like he's just within sniper range, dog. He's got the pure AR chopper on his side.
And the dude already knew he hit it. He was like already running away.
And then just the pile on and the blank face. And when he turned around and waved to their bench after he hit it, I said the disrespect in this moment is the most justifiably disrespectful moment I've ever seen in my life.
Like, you can't be mad at that boy for that. Because he's pretty laid back and chill in general, dude, in general.
Speaking of justified disrespect.
Yes, sir.
I think you know where I'm going with this next.
Uh-oh.
Van Jones decided he wasn't taking no, he wasn't taking no side talk from Wendy.
Hold on, we're gonna play that for y'all. Hold on.
They are getting a divorce. The divorce is not finalized. You still wear your ring.
You got something on your hand, too, so I ain't talking about
that. No, this is not.
I'm just saying. We talk about Jeremy.
Excuse me. This side of the couch is for the asking of the question.
Man, Van Jones, shout out to you, man.
Wendy Williams has built a career on the
fucking with people. Varys. That's why we called her Varys.
Yep.
Yeah, man. She built a career off of just talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like a whole career. What other things is she notable for as a... She's not a great interviewer.
She's not a journalist.
Yeah, she's not even a great interviewer even. Even if she's talking shit, she was a great interviewer. She just brings up messy shit like, but what about your girlfriend from 8th grade, Teresa? Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
We have her on the line. Whoa, hold up. Teresa, didn't you still used to mess with men? Oh, whoa. I'm engaged, ma'am. Like, that's the shit she would do to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like... I remember it was a whole thing. Method Man tried to kill her because it was like she basically put out there his wife was like real, real sick with lupus.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to keep that like that was just a kind of private family thing
mm-hmm.
that his wife had lupus.
And she tried it. And she
put it out there.
Yeah.
And that dude, they said that dude was sitting in the lobby waiting like all day. Like she had to have called the police because he was like, no, I ain't leaving. I don't have to call the police.
Right. So.
And Angie Martinez slapped the shit out of her before too.
So anyway, in this particular moment, she... is getting a divorce now herself.
Mm-hmm. But Van Jones let it out for you, though.
And he says that you know, her husband is Kevin Hunter?
Yeah, Kevin Hunter.
Kevin Hunter is his name, huh?
Mm-hmm. Got a side baby.
Mm-hmm. Whole little side thing to jump off.
As the internets call her 12 years of side chick.
Ooh.
Because he's been with her 12 years. That side chick for 12
that's
years.
That's a whole second it's, life.
Yeah, 12...
that's a whole second life.
12 years of side chick is what the internets call her.
I was living a wild life 12 years ago.
Yeah, think about if you kept some woman on the side for 12 years.
Can't imagine it.
I can't even imagine. I don't even... at some point, I'd be like, man, why ain't you... One of y'all... I would tell one of y'all, why ain't one of y'all left me at this point? 12 years?
That's a credit to his thoroughness.
Is it?
He's got survival tactics on a level that I never even warned him of. Like, he the dude that would survive nuclear fallout. 12 chicks the whole time, one of them famous?
Yeah.
That's tough life. But anyway, though, here's the thing she said. She says, she brings it up while Van Jones from CNN is on TV. Says, they're getting a divorce. The divorce is not finalized. You still wear your ring, Williams said to him after his wife had filed for divorce in September. Van Jones looked at her and said, you got something on your hand, too. I needed to transcribe that from what we just listened to.
Just because just get the words
up. The emphasis of that.
Like, look at you too.
And then she get hot.
Oh, you know she is. She don't like nobody one up in her at all.
Because she lost that. That face
she
is
took that ill.
That face is busted. Yeah, like, so in this situation, I bring this up now to say that Van Jones is Damon Lillard. And she was Russell Westbrook. And Paul George. rolled in together. Like, if moments, if you had to do a press conference after moments in real life, then something that went bad. Yeah. Like, you had to imagine you had to go do a press conference after you blew out a tire. Like, you had a rough day. Yeah, man, you know, I should have put a little air in that tire. You know, it was a struggle. You know, we're going to try to do better next time.
We'll work it out.
That would have been it. That's Wendy Williams sitting up there like, that was a bad shot. I don't care who shot it and who said it. It was a bad shot.
Off the top.
Ain't nothing. There's a few satisfactions at work in life that are better than seeing a player get played.
Yeah. And that's one of them.
Yeah. That's one she got dunked on her show that's named after her.
She's going through a lot right now.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't open yourself up like that.
People been waiting, though, probably. This vulture sitting out there waiting for this shit to happen.
It's coming. Things like this come down to find folks that tempt fate like that.
Mm-hmm. It ain't over.
You want to dance with the devil, he might call you on it one day. All right, man, let's hit this quick This Week in Racism, man. This is a victory lap. And we need a little bit of special music for This Week in Racism. We need a different track this weekend.
All right.
Yeah, we need that vibe right for this one, baby. We need that vibe right for this one. Because this is one we've been talking about for a few. You've been sticking with us for a couple of, about a month or something, probably.
Maybe a little bit longer than that, probably.
Yeah, something like that. The greatest news, you always end up hearing about how we losing in court. You know, we go to court, and like everybody know that feeling. When you head to court, and you like, damn, I'm about to catch a raw deal. Like, I already know this ain't going to work out right for me. Well, A little while ago, we talked about the judge up in Pennsylvania who had been found to have been swaying prison sentences against black teenagers and black youth in order to up some of the numbers. Well, it came back around. Not only did he go to court and catch that work, he got 28 years for a juvenile bribery scandal. The judge name was Mark Ciavarella. Oh, name man. Just says, I don't like y'all. That's what that name says to me when I hear it. I don't like y'all very much.
Mark Ciavarella. Boy, that sounds like a dude that be doing some treachery.
It either sounds like a dude that's got a fire-ass chicken parmesan in his restaurant or somebody that probably still calls us moolies and stuff like that. And not even amongst... It's like he was sitting at that table in Green Book at the house when Marshall Ali walked in and they looking like, what's going on?
What's going on with this?
Like, I guarantee you that Mark Ciavarella has said spook more times than
spook
than you could count.
Yeah, he's definitely...
But he took $1 million in bribes from the developers of juvenile detention centers and then the case got to be known as Kids for Cash. That is rough. But it just shows you how, when you hear people saying, what are y'all complaining about? How racism is alive and well. And what's the most dangerous type of racism? The hidden institutionalized side.
Yep, not the blatant shit that's in your face.
Yeah, like you call me whatever names you want to say, but to act like the system isn't stacked against us at times is just to simply just be denying the fact that the sun came up and that it's staring you right in your face.
That's true, man.
You're just wearing what I like to call cultural sunglasses and you acting like it ain't happening.
Hey, it's real though, man. It's so just deserting on that shit, man. It's so just deserting that motherfucker. Fuck that dude, man.
It's rare that we get to This Week in Racism and it gets to be a victory lap. Last night, a dude that plays for the Philadelphia Phillies, he had got thrown at the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a home run the next night and took the longest home run stride in recorded history.
Like it was that long.
It was that slow that he pimped it for 34 seconds getting around the bases. That's what this story makes me want to do. It makes me just want to take like a 3-hour victory lap around this story. Like I want to open this news article up, put it on the ground, and just walk around my phone slowly in victory. So that's what we got for This Week in Racism for you. But before we get out the door, before we get it, yo, thanks for y'all stepping back in, rocking with us. We just got to say, it's time to celebrate, or maybe it's not, because some people have been acting like this is not a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't know the streets was a damn.
They been low on this, but Barack Obama's granddaddy is running for president again. No.
A.K.A. Sting.
A.K.A. Sting. A.K.A. Joe Mormont. Joe Biden is officially announced that he's running for president in 2020. Now, the first thing, this, it's like he dropped it like a Beyonce album in the middle of the night. Like, I woke up to it and just saw, oh, Joe Biden got in. it's like he dropped it on Spotify at like 2:30 in the morning.
And he finessed this shit, and he waited to the last possible minute.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, so this is basically everybody that's going to be here.
Joe Biden hopped into this like that Palpatine laugh at the end of that Star Wars trailer.
Out of nowhere.
Like, Joe Biden might be the first person to ever declare he's running for president in the end scene credits after the movie.
At the end scene, like, boom, I got you right here.
Oh, by the way, I'm running for president. And then it's
don't
like,
forget.
Don't forget.
Like, what?
Thanos will return.
And look, he actually finessed even more because he had the little sex thing come out about him. Assault case a few weeks ago. Remember, like, somebody said that he inappropriately talked to them or touched them or something?
Oh, well, yeah, when they tried to say Joe Biden be too friendly.
Yeah, but then he was like, let's see how this ran.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, the streets ain't that hot? Okay.
Jeff Joe, man.
Yeah, and the streets ain't that hot? All right.
I'm interested. I'm not going to jump into conclusions.
No.
I do know that we talked about this before. I feel like we in the ride my horse or nobody's horse stage of politics more so than ever.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the biggest weapon that the GOP has right now is that whether they agree with that guy or not,
they're gonna ride.
They're united behind him. While the Dems have gotten so liberal and so
all over
and so in my corner and I'm only going for exactly what I want that they forgot that you have to get behind a singular candidate if you want
to
win.
And this is politics. It's not about all my issues get addressed. You're gonna gain and win some. That's the point of politics.
Exactly. You know.
Like, well, I mean, Joe Biden liked to park on the left side of the street. I like the right.
Right.
You know, Kamala Harris, you know, she liked to go to Popeyes. I like churches.
She
be like, damn.
So I'm gonna vote for this AKA. Like, no.
Or even to the other side, like, you can't just automate. I want to see what everybody has to say. Present everything to me. And then, now, Elizabeth Warren did come out and say, I'm trying to get rid of student loans. that really perked my ears up.
That sounded interesting.
That sounds more feasible than the reparations discussion.
Now, again, I don't ever think reparations is happening. But again, it's the idea of it is great, like
mm-hmm.
reparations.
Mm-hmm.
The implementation, you got to sell people on it.
Yeah.
And
because you got to get this shit through Congress, too.
And some of the people that have the least student loans have the most ideas about what we need to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how that works out, huh?
Yep.
But Joe Biden's in the race. I'm interested to see how it works out.
Yeah.
I would think that would be as close to a prohibitive favorite as you can get, but I don't even know what to do about what I consider to be my common sense when it comes to politics anymore.
Yeah, it's just some people going to drop out this shit, man. Somebody going to make a call.
It's going to end up like the St. Louis mayoral race.
Yeah, man. Joe got to be like, hey, look here, Corey, man. You know that you ain't going.
I got money for all of y'all on the other side.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody gonna get their paper.
So what do you do? When does he send Barack to go and visit all these people?
Oh, they probably already got that. Barack already probably called like, you know, Joe getting in, right? Just letting them know.
Does Hillary get in now too?
Fuck no. She don't want no. Hell no. Not now.
She
didn't want Uncle Joe and the other one.
She gonna show up like Aegon Targaryen saying that it's supposed to be her throne, aka Jon Snow.
Joe probably told her, you know, I was gonna get in last year, right? Only reason is, but Barack said that you had to get your shot. You got your shot. You lost.
I just want for
now
Joe.
Now let's go, Uncle Joe.
I think that he's gonna walk out to. You thought it was over, but it's gonna be
oh,
again.
Shit.
I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, you wildin'. Like you wildin'. If he did some shit like that, I'd
Tupac's back. Like hologram Tupac rapping on stage and Joe Biden walk out?
Oh, man, dude. That'd be...
Joe Biden is one of them dudes that can push the envelope of me accepting him being pandering for the black vote about as far as possible.
Yeah. But Joe Biden, they're going to get him. You know, he's got a lot of things that, you know, that he's done, that he's voted for that have been bad, like the crime bill, things like that. So
mm-hmm.
people are going to hit him up. But my thing is, like, are we willing to say, like, yo, Joe is too centralist to say, fuck it, I'm gonna support somebody that's on the all the way over here, and you lose all the marbles in the presidential election just because of he didn't do 89%, he didn't do 100% of your issues, he did 80%.
I think that, yeah, exactly, exactly. And my problem is that I think that it's going to be too many people that are going to get to a point where they're like, if my person doesn't vote, I'm not voting.
And that's the bullshit that we had last time.
Exactly, exactly. And it's like the thing, I think that maybe that pretty much what you could call theft of the Democratic vote did sway some people last time. But if people do that for somebody that gets a consensus vote, like here my thing is that I'm going to go for, spoiler alert, whoever's not Donald Trump. But here's my thing is I think that the primary is more important than ever before. And that if your person doesn't win, that's fine. You need to vote for whatever stops that train.
Yeah.
That's what's most important. You gotta put the petty to the side. You have to.
Yeah.
Like more so than at any point in history. Because last time you couldn't do that.
And motherfuckers did that with the Bernie thing. Some of the Bernie supporters, like, I'm sitting out, or they voted for Trump and some dumb shit.
Right. So it's like,
we can't do that this time.
Don't do that. Don't do that again. Don't play me twice.
Yeah, like, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now Uncle Joe can get the real finesse if he go ahead and name Stacey Abrams as his vice president, as people have been thinking. Now that's what he really want to say. Fuck everybody. He do that shit.
I'm with that. I've always been pro that approach to things.
Yeah, that's a better option than even Beto though, to me.
Yeah, It ain't Beto's time.
No, but Stacey Abrams would show up a lot of shit for you though. She'd cover you for a lot of bullshit that you could get hit on.
Yeah, I agree.
And you groom her and say basically she next up. I'll be 80. I'm only staying in for these 4 years. I'm out.
Now, my last question.
Yes, sir.
Before we wrap this thing up. He can't run for president no more, but can Barack be vice president?
No, he can't. I read that. He can't. Only way he could be now.
Secretary of State?
Yes. Or he could be named in Supreme Court, too.
Yeah, he could.
He could be named in Supreme Court. Because presidents have been Supreme Court justices. On the back end, like, I still need some
checks. That's too much of a pay cut for Barack.
And Barack, like, yo, man, I'm out here living. Don't you see my pictures?
He's more, at this point, he's more valuable where he's at.
And you think Michelle going, oh, we ain't going back to D.C.? No, we out here living this life.
She said, we can live here, but we ain't finna get involved in nothing down the street.
No, no. Or are you going to be the foreign ambassador to the Netherlands? Or like somewhere, like some tropical island, like the ambassador for there? Yeah, you could be an ambassador to Costa Rica.
But other than that,
nah.
I will whoop your ass, Barack. Get back in this house.
I said we go, well, they go low, we go high. I'm trying to tell you, we ain't going that high. But thank y'all for listening. Email us straightolc@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week. Thank y'all for always listening. Peace.